Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Radio family, good morning. And once again, welcome to another weekend edition of Community Focus. Thank you for your great company and for tuning in here Saturday and Sunday mornings in our intercom stations. Again, the opportunity to engage in great conversation with members of our Community Focus family. And a very important topic of discussion, as all of them are with members of our Community Focus family. But the two ladies who joined me, Renee Vaughn, this morning, Radio Family, are sharing with us some very pertinent and very important information. Let me go ahead and discuss what we will be talking and sharing with you about. I want to say, first of all, to welcome the newest members of our Community Focus family and Pam Salisbury. She represents FEMA, which is the Federal Emergency Management Agency. And she's brought a partner along who represents the Small Business Administration, the Office of Disaster Assistance. So respectively, Pam Salisbury and Lori Dana. Ladies, good morning. How are you both?
Good morning, Renee.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Oh, absolutely. Thank you for coming on board, because what we're about to cover, as I mentioned again, is so important. One, what FEMA is doing to help with disaster relief. And Lori, with you, with the SBA disaster assistance that's available to us as homeowners, as renters, businesses of all sizes, and even nonprofits. We really, for many who are tuning in, will never forget the day, April 15th, 2018. It was one in which, for a lot of persons living in Guilford County, as well as living in those neighboring counties, Rockingham County, for instance, an EF2, as it was officially confirmed, tornado touchdown in the Greensboro, North Carolina area. I wanted to, first of all, Pam, start with you. Bring us up to speed indeed with what FEMA is doing to help with disaster relief for persons impacted by those storms.
Renee, thank you so much, and thank you for giving us the time
Absolutely.
And the space to share
Certainly.
With your audience what FEMA and the SBA, what we're doing to try to get people on the other side of this disaster.
Right.
So we were here on the ground right after the declaration for federal disaster assistance was declared.
Mm-hmm.
That was right around May 8th, May 9th.
Right.
And our stand is that we will be here as long as the state needs us.
Excellent.
And so we are executing a really robust response to the disaster.
Mm-hmm.
We want to let those who are suffering know that there are grants, there are loans that are available that can help them build back their lives and their property as they go through what has to have been a traumatic experience.
Absolutely.
Like you said, one that they will likely never, ever forget.
Very much so.
So our first priority and our focus is on registration,
mm-hmm.
making sure that people understand that if they were impacted, if they live in either of those two impacted counties, Rockingham County and Guilford County,
right.
they are eligible to register for individual disaster assistance. And so far, we have registered more than 1,000 people
Very
between
good.
The office in Rockingham County one in Guilford County.
Excellent.
So we're glad that the word is getting out.
Definitely.
That's kind of like why we're here.
Very much so,
because
right.
Because we don't want people to miss out on
exactly.
the possibility for assistance because they just didn't know, or they had misinformation
right.
and fed into some kind of a myth. So we have the time to kind of spell out exactly what the process is like.
Absolutely. And I really appreciate that, ladies, because the recovery for a lot of families, even though a few months have passed, they're still in that stage. And many are still really at that ground zero point. So to know that the assistance is there and it's going to be there for a period of time, that's got to really help a lot of families who likely at this time aren't really sure, well, up until we started this conversation, as to whether assistance was still available. Because in a lot of cases, you know, after a certain period of time, that's pretty much it. You're left on your own.
There's a deadline exactly. And the window of opportunity
right.
closes.
And you're left on your own to fend for yourself when it comes to that. But it's wonderful that we have two well-known agencies that have partnered together, exactly. that have come together to help our communities. In that, Lori, I wanted to begin with you and asking, who can apply for disaster relief?
Well, the SBA offers disaster assistance for homeowners, mm-hmm. renters, businesses of all sizes, and nonprofits.
Excellent.
And the first step is to register with FEMA. Mm-hmm. And if you are referred to the SBA to complete a disaster loan
right.
application, mm-hmm. it's really important to do so. Even if you're not sure you want a loan, you need a loan, mm-hmm. You may have insurance, it's really important to complete that disaster loan application. A significant, more than half of the people that register with FEMA will be referred to the SBA. Right
okay.
right now, there's over 600 households that were referred to yeah. SBA to complete a disaster mm-hmm. loan, and over 100 businesses. However, only 74 households have applied for the SBA,
wow.
and they're leaving money on the table. And here's
mm-hmm.
why:
mm-hmm.
if they're denied a disaster loan, they're referred back to FEMA for any assistance that might be available.
Right.
But if they don't complete that disaster loan application, all assistance stops. So we really encourage people to fill out that disaster loan application, even if you don't think you
right.
qualify for a loan. And the loan, well, we can go into more of that later, but that's an important part of the process for both people that are approved for disaster loans
right.
and denied.
And I'm so glad you ladies are here, that we'll have the time to really get into expounding on that information, reiterating it in some places for those that, if you're not with us at the beginning of the program, we're going to get you caught up a little later on the show. Now, this time, Pam, what's the focus right now, and have there been any challenges thus far that either agency has come across or run into?
You know, the only challenge that I could speak to is just people getting the information that
right.
they need and
right.
not getting misinformation. I'm really proud that we have disaster survivor assistance teams that go door to door, street by street, giving people information, answering questions, and helping them register in their communities.
Right.
That was one of the first things that survivors began to see after that federal disaster declaration.
Mm-hmm.
So my concern is just making sure that as many people as can hear that we are here and we're here to help. We're not going to be here, you know, forever. But we want people to come as soon as they can. And then that brings me to a point of letting people know there are many ways to get in touch with FEMA
mm-hmm.
for disaster assistance registration. They can call our helpline, which right. is 1-800-662-FEMA, 1-800-621-3362. And let me say that again, 1-800-621-3362. They can register that way over the phone.
Okay.
They can also register online, disasterassistance.gov,
right.
and there's a step-by-step process that way. And what I always encourage when it is possible is for survivors to visit our disaster recovery
mm-hmm.
centers.
Great.
And we have one that's right here in Greensboro, 1203 Maple okay. Street.
You're absolutely correct, Pam, and that is the Guilford County Department of Public Health. Please continue.
And there they can be one-on-one, face-to-face with men and women from FEMA who are tested and trained in getting people to the other side of the disaster. You
mm-hmm.
know, the people going through this and trying to build mm-hmm. back, this is yeah. one of the worst things that could ever happen to their lives.
Indeed.
And you know, it's like you never expect this going to happen to you. You know, you
right.
see it played out on television, you
exactly.
watch the tornadoes and go, oh my
right.
gosh,
mm-hmm.
you know, look at the destructive nature of them
right.
and look at the damage and the lives torn apart. And somehow you never think, you know, that sound of that train whistle, that's never going to happen
right.
until it does.
It does, exactly.
And so people are traumatized by this. There's so
mm-hmm.
many different things going on. And the folks who work for FEMA, they've been through multiple disasters. So they know what questions folks have.
Right.
They understand the confusion and the worry
mm-hmm.
and the angst. They get all of that. And they will take as long as they need to walk people through what they need to do to be considered eligible for disaster assistance. And I just find that when folks come into the disaster recovery centers, there's more of a human touch.
Absolutely.
And there aren't just FEMA workers there. The SBA has a huge presence there.
Excellent.
As well as charity organizations. I've had many conversations with the Baptist Men's Mission. You know, they're known for these gold T-shirts that they wear. They're in the feeding business right at the start of a disaster. Mm-hmm. And now, you know, they're talking to homeowners about things that they can do to help them build back their property, just different construction and repairs that they can do. And it's free. It's what they do on a voluntary basis. And then, of course, our state partners are there. They have a heavy presence at the disaster recovery centers,
Excellent.
So, you know, once you've registered for FEMA, people just kind of move through the line and find out, well, what else might I be eligible for? And you know, what do you offer that might help me build back?
Absolutely.
So I always encourage folks, if they can get transportation, to make that kind of like a priority
to visit
a disaster recovery center and talk to the men and women there about disaster assistance. And there are many, many programs and categories of assistance that FEMA offers to survivors, but the main components are in the areas of home repair, replacing items that were destroyed or severely damaged because of the severe storms and the violence and of the storms and the tornadoes. And they also do rental assistance. And we're talking about grants, disaster relief grants. So it doesn't have to be paid back. And I know, Renee, we're going to talk some more on that end, but there is a distinction between an SBA loan and federal disaster grants from FEMA. And so underneath that broad umbrella, there's several other categories that we consider other needs. So if you don't qualify for the items that I just mentioned in those categories, there are other opportunities and programs for grants.
Excellent.
Now, I want to clarify something, too.
Sure.
On those repairs for the home, the FEMA repairs, those are repairs to get your house safe and sanitary. Those are the, you know, to, but if you have extensive damage on your house, that's not covered by FEMA, you know. So that's also where the difference between the loan program and the grant program.
So quite a distinction. And you're
right. It is a big distinction.
We're going to get into more of the particulars of that. Ladies, I just want to thank you. I like, Pam, that you referenced the human touch, because it's just a reminder that there's still an immediacy for a lot of families.
Absolutely.
Even though April 15th has come and gone.
And a lot of people have moved on. Maybe they had great insurance, and so they're covered and they're good and they've moved on. But there's so many people who are still in the struggle.
Exactly.
And these are trying times for them.
Very much so.
We definitely want them to get that information and not miss out on assistance because they didn't act quickly or because they didn't know or because they simply had misinformation. So even, you know, your audience, if they were not touched by this disaster at all, they may have, you know, friends at church, family members, loved ones who are maybe elderly and not quite sure how to navigate and negotiate this new territory of building back, then I would hope, it would be my hope that they would share this information with them.
Absolutely.
And also if it meant, you know, getting in a car and driving them to Maple Street to the health department there and letting them sit with some of the FEMA staff who can really talk them through what they need.
Absolutely.
What they're eligible for.
And I thank you, Pam and Lori, for sharing this great information. We're just scratching the surface, so we do have a lot more that we want to share. And to thank you, Radio Family, indeed, for tuning in. Again, as I mentioned earlier, very important and very pertinent information that we're sharing about not only what FEMA is doing to help with disaster relief, but what the SBA Disaster Assistance is doing. If you're a homeowner, if you're a renter, if you're a business of any and all size, and if you're a nonprofit, we're going to return. We're going to take a quick break. I got a lot more questions. So, Pam and Lori, I hope you don't mind.
We don't mind at all.
No,
well, I thank you very much for being here with me as we will come back. Much more of the weekend edition of Community Focus here in our intercom stations. We'll continue after this. It's more the weekend edition of Community Focus, and it's here on our intercom station Saturday and Sunday mornings. Thank you, Radio Family, for your great company and certainly the company of members of our Community Focus family. The first half of the show, they were newbies. They're official now, so they are definitely part of our radio family. As I'm speaking with Pam Salisbury, again representing FEMA, the Federal Emergency Management Agency, and representing proudly SBA, which again stands for the Small Business Administration, Office of Disaster Assistance. I have Lori Dana. Ladies, we covered a lot, and thankfully we have the second half of the show to cover even more about helping our area residents with disaster relief. I wanted to share something in preparing for our conversation today. I came across an interesting site in doing a little bit of research, and I wanted to give this gentleman the proper credit and to recognize the work that he does. He extensively focuses on writing about Maine weather events, especially major ones such as this one with that EF2 tornado that occurred in Greensboro. His name is Dennis Mesereau. He's also known as the Weather Dude. So he is part of a site that's called DAM Weather, and he actually broke down the anatomy of the April 15, 2018 tornado in Greensboro, North Carolina. I wanted to share this with you and with our listeners. One of the strongest and longest track tornadoes to hit North Carolina's Piedmont Triad in years touched down on the evening of Sunday, April 15th, 2018. The EF2 tornado developed just east of downtown Greensboro shortly after 5 p.m. on Sunday and tracked north along a 33-mile path before dissipating south of Danville, Virginia. The tornado damaged more than 1,000 buildings in Guilford County, North Carolina alone, and resulted in one indirect fatality and at least 14 injuries. The thunderstorm responsible for the tornado left behind a path of wind and tornado damage from central South Carolina through central Virginia. So that is huge. And we were talking about that just before we went to our first break. The visual of that. Even if this didn't happen directly to you, just in sharing those paragraphs of giving you that image of the track and the path of this storm. Now imagine for the families who are listening right now that were directly in the path of that. That Sunday probably for a lot of individuals just started as any other regular old day. You know, the weekend's winding down. They're trying to figure out, okay, Monday's steadily knocking on the door. We got a new week to start. Then all of a sudden they see changes in the weather. And I mean major changes to the fact that after the damage was assessed, it was determined that it was an EF2 tornado. Now, that's relatively high. I think the five the highest or the most dangerous of tornadoes. I'm just putting it out there for those who are weather enthusiasts or know a little bit more about the weather. But even for an EF2 in an area between Guilford and Rockingham counties is huge. And we mentioned that something that just doesn't happen around here. And families left wondering, where do we go from here? My house is totally destroyed. Everything I have just about is gone. How does recovery begin? How do I move on? How do I process all of this and try to get back to some sort of normalcy? And that's,
you know, and you compound that with maybe a community or neighborhood that was already, you know, facing hardship.
Exactly.
Like, things were not, you know, exactly on easy street already.
Right.
And so, you know, so you're dealing with that. And then on top of that, you have a disaster.
Disaster, exactly.
You know, right on top of you.
Right.
And so the question about how to build back is just hard to do.
It is.
I mean, there's so many questions and there's so much, you know, pain, there's so much suffering that you have to sift, get through that.
Exactly.
While you're also trying to find out what you need
right
to get back to where you were.
And likely there is, absolutely, Pam and Lori, and the fact that for families that are impacted, very likely they're not just thinking about themselves, but they're thinking about their neighbors. They're thinking about perhaps a coworker, just a person that they know in their immediate neighborhood, and knowing they weren't the only ones affected by this. So as we continue in our conversation, how do people, ladies, Pam, I'm going to address this question to you. How does one register for disaster assistance and what kind of FEMA grants are available? Let's start there.
Right. And then I'll start off by saying the FEMA grants is financial aid that does not have to be paid back. And it is to someone who is deemed eligible,
mm-hmm.
and they've gone through the process, the FEMA assistance is either made in a direct deposit, you know, to the recipient survivor's bank account, or a check right. is made out to them. So just stressing that these are funds that don't have to be paid mm-hmm. back. And once again, it's registration, registration, registration.
Absolutely.
You won't know what you're eligible for mm-hmm. until you do that. So
exactly.
That's where you start.
There you go.
And I hope that Lori and I don't end up sounding like broken records as we go with you through this program.
No,
it's
such
an important part.
Absolutely.
And so it opens up programs that you may be eligible for
right.
to build your life back. And mm-hmm. and like I said, you know, there are home repairs. There's reimbursement for things that you lost in your home,
mm-hmm.
just personal possessions that you lost. And even there's a program that aids in mental health.
Mm.
Because while you're in it, sometimes you don't think about what's happening to you mentally.
Very
you're
true.
Just trying to physically get
yeah,
things back in exactly. order.
Exactly.
Sometimes it may come after, you know, weeks and maybe months after a
right.
disaster, you begin to feel the effects mentally, or they're right in your face. So that's even a program where there is funding for that. If there was money spent on medical needs, pharmacy, prescriptions, if these things were lost and you suffered because of the storm, there are grants that you may be eligible for
right.
To either get reimbursed or to buy, you know, what you need. So those are some of the what we call other assistance
mm-hmm.
needs. But the big ones involve home repair, replacing household property, personal property that was lost, and rental assistance. And again, you know, we're talking about homeowners, of course, but also, and Lori mentioned, you know, renters
right.
as well. And so we're talking about survivors who may have no insurance,
mm-hmm.
and we're talking about survivors who may have insurance.
Sure,
sometimes
right.
people who are insured think, I'm not going to go there to register. I have insurance. There's not going to be anything for me.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, insurance sometimes doesn't cover all of your needs. They don't meet all of the needs,
mm-hmm.
and so that FEMA assistance could be some money that fills in
exactly.
the gap. And a lot of times people are underinsured. You could
That's
be
true.
Uninsured, underinsured, or have no insurance, and there is a possibility of programs that can help you build back.
And for where that what the FEMA doesn't cover,
right.
there's the SBA
that comes in.
Disaster loans,
exactly.
Because there's a cap to how much the grants can be.
Right.
There are certain qualifications for the home repairs, as we said
mm-hmm.
earlier. It has to be to get your house safe and sanitary.
Absolutely.
The homeowners, they can borrow up to $200,000 to make repairs on their primary residence.
Mm-hmm.
And homeowners and renters can borrow up to $40,000 to repair or replace their contents of their home, and that includes cars.
Mm-hmm.
The interest rates are really low. They're as low as 1.8%
wow.
for homeowners. Now, I know that some people would have a concern. I've got a mortgage, and I can't afford a loan to go on top of that.
If right.
In a lot of cases, that you can refinance your home with
mm-hmm.
with a disaster loan, and some people have actually had lower payments because of that.
Right.
I mean, nobody wants to go through a disaster, and I mean, it's heartbreaking.
It is.
It really is. And as I said before, if you were referred to SBA by FEMA,
mm-hmm.
complete that disaster loan application.
The sooner the better.
Even if you don't think you can qualify.
Right.
Even if you're not sure you want a loan, you
mm-hmm.
don't have to accept it if you're approved.
Mm-hmm.
It won't disqualify you for FEMA
right.
aid if you fill out that disaster
right.
loan application and you're accepted.
That's great
but
to know.
If you don't fill it out and you're not eligible for FEMA other mm-hmm. needs assistance. You have to fill out that loan application. If you're
right.
denied, you're referred back to FEMA, but you have to fill that loan application to be eligible.
Thank you for that. And Lori, let me ask you on top of this, does one have to wait for insurance to settle to apply
no,
for a disaster loan?
No, we really recommend that people don't wait for your insurance to settle, because if it
right.
Settles after the July 9th deadline,
mm-hmm.
it's too late. That's the date, that's the deadline to register for FEMA. That's also the date, July 9th is the deadline to apply for SBA disaster loan. And so get those applications in, as
Absolutely.
Pam mentioned.
Right.
You can You can go online for the SBA disaster loan. You can go online at sba.gov/disaster.
Okay.
You can go to a disaster recovery center. That's a great place to go because you can register for FEMA there. You can find out the status of your FEMA registration.
Mm-hmm.
You can apply for the SBA loan all in one spot. They'll walk you through it. They'll submit it right there.
Wow.
If you get a denial letter from FEMA or even SBA, say it says zero, read that letter. Don't say, oh, they're not going to help me. I mean,
right.
A lot of times when you're stressed, like me, sometimes I don't read everything. You know, I just get frustrated, you know, and when
that's
you're stressed, that's common.
Mm-hmm.
Read that letter. It could be just that you need to fill out a disaster loan application. It could mean that you're transposed a number. It could be something, usually it's something very simple.
Right.
And you can bring that letter into the Disaster Recovery Center and ask them questions.
Absolutely. You know, ladies, this brings to mind, there was a saying my grandmother used to have about certain things. And this made me think of when it comes to having the assistance for disaster recovery and when it comes to registering and getting the important paperwork filled out, even if you don't think, like you said, you may be eligible for it, my grandmother used to say on certain matters, and I'm going to include this as well, it's better to have it and not need it than to need it and you don't have it.
Keep those options
that's
open.
Exactly.
That's wisdom speaking.
Thank
right
you.
There.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And that stuck with me all this time. And it makes me, you know, want to apply it now in certain situations and to stress that to our radio family and to our listeners. With that, Pam, what happens after a person registers for disaster assistance? Let's talk about that.
Okay. Well, shortly thereafter, the survivor will be contacted by an inspector who mm-hmm. wants to continue the process with you, look over the property, examine the damages, and even if you have made some repairs and it doesn't look exactly like it looked at the time of the violent storms and the tornado, I mean, these inspectors are trained. I mean, they can see what was there, what wasn't there, how the storm impacted the property. So
right.
They will contact you and schedule an appointment to come to your home and document the damage.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to you about what's your story? How much did you lose? You don't even have to necessarily show them pictures. You need your own kind of documentation.
Right, exactly.
They're not there to look at pictures. They're not there to examine your documentation. I mean, they're getting a physical lay of the land. And you know what, Renee, when you're dealing with disasters and calamities of this nature,
right.
They can bring out the best in humanity, and they can bring out the worst.
Absolutely.
And sometimes there is a criminal element at play, mm-hmm. and maybe someone is misrepresenting who they
exactly.
are trying to get
right.
something from you.
Very true.
So I want to make it very clear that a FEMA inspector has a badge that has mm-hmm. his or her picture on it.
Mm-hmm.
They have a registration number. It is official. You'll know that they
great.
Are the real deal when you
great.
See it. So don't just let a FEMA cap or a FEMA shirt. I mean, you can get those anywhere.
Very true.
Badge and make sure
right.
that you can see it clearly.
Mm-hmm.
If it's kind of hidden, you just ask. Let me
right.
see your badge and let me make sure that you are a FEMA inspector. They will not ask you for any personal information like your social security number.
Good.
And they will never ask you for money.
Mm-hmm.
And they won't give you recommendations. You'll call this person, you know, if you need
right.
a roof done or something built back in your home. It takes about 15 to 45 minutes or so
mm-hmm.
to go through the inspection. And then that becomes part of your application process. I mean, that
yeah.
Begins to fill in what you may be eligible for in terms of
excellent.
FEMA disaster.
I thank you for sharing all of that information. To really emphasize to our listeners, Pam and Lori, to our radio family, that if that individual does not represent any of that criteria, you either call the police.
Law enforcement.
Law enforcement, exactly. Some form of law enforcement, or you just run that person as quickly away, you know, in a non-criminal way, of course, but just get that person off your property, off your premises, if they don't properly represent who they say they are. And that's so important.
And the latest numbers that I have from
mm-hmm.
FEMA is that we have completed 440 inspections. So the process is moving right along.
Right.
And after that, the inspection is done. Some other processes that need to play out, but it will ultimately end with the survivor getting that determination letter that Laurie spoke about.
Right.
That will let you know what disaster assistance you grant you are eligible to receive, or it may be a determination letter that says you're not, denies you your eligibility, and then that's where we really say, and I don't want to keep repeating what Laurie said, but you really need to read it carefully because
very
it doesn't
true.
Mean that it's over. It could be something simple, just some paperwork that's missing.
Right,
and
exactly.
And you can solve that, you know, very, very quickly and get help from FEMA. FEMA workers will help you go through the appeal process. But all of the details are in the letter. And in the moment, you may think, I'm sitting around in disaster, and they, and this is a denial letter. It will tell you why, and then it will tell you what you need to do.
Exactly.
And part of the fix it could be an appeal.
Right.
Or it could be providing more documentation, more paperwork.
Fantastic. It is the weekend edition of Community Focus on our intercom stations. Thank you, Radio Family, for your great company. I really want to thank the company of Pam Salisbury and Laurie Dana joining me. Great information talking about disaster assistance for residents of North Carolina affected by not just the tornado, but the severe storms that have impacted a lot of our area residents.
And do we still have time?
Yes, plenty of time.
Okay, because we also offer disaster loans for businesses, and businesses are vital.
Absolutely, absolutely.
And not just small businesses. Businesses of all sizes can borrow funds to repair or replace their equipment,
right,
their inventory, any of their assets, but they can also apply for working capital loans to help them pay the bills they would have been able to pay had the tornadoes not hit.
So. Excellent. So on top of that, Laurie, here's my next question, because outside of personal property that was damaged, area businesses, there were likely a lot of places of worship that were impacted. So let's include area churches. Can they apply for disaster loans as well?
They can apply as a nonprofit. Interest rates for nonprofits are as low as 2.5%. And landlords can also apply as a business. So if you own a house, you can only apply for the disaster loan if it's your primary residence.
Right.
You can't do it for vacation. But landlords can apply.
Ladies, this is just an aside question. I'm obviously talking to the two of you who are experts in your various fields, likely years of experience and in your area of expertise. May I ask how long each of you individually have served in your role? Laurie, I'll start with you with SBA.
Okay, I've been with SBA for a couple of years.
Okay.
And in California.
And you made the trip here to North Carolina?
I did.
Thank you so much for that.
And people are so friendly and so gracious.
That's our Southern hospitality we're giving you, Laurie.
I don't know if I'm going
to take that back to California with you.
Find me a job.
Move on over to the east side, to the east coast. We would love to have you. And Pam, likewise for you.
Well, I'm new with FEMA.
You're the newbie.
It'll be a year coming up in August. But I do have a big background in crisis communications, which is critical. And I don't know if some of your audience might recognize my name from WREL. I was like,
yes.
Look at you.
That's why I didn't say it. It's like, I know who this is.
So they might listen. They may, because they can't see us, they may say, I think
you recognize that voice. Absolutely.
So this was kind of like a coming home for me under, you know, unfortunate circumstances, but it's always great to be back.
Absolutely.
For sure.
Well, it's always great to have our home girl back. Absolutely. Now, how did the two of you happen to meet and connect and have the opportunity, not just as individuals, but as agencies joining forces to work together?
Because we're assigned to do that.
Yes. Very good.
And, you know, whenever there's a disaster declaration, the weight and the feel of the SBA changes because it's small business administration. And so you're thinking it's business. But it morphs.
It does. It really does.
Disaster, and
absolutely.
We're joined at the hip to try to help people build back. And, you know, Laurie mentioned it, and I think I just need to make it clear because, you know, FEMA doesn't come in to save the day, so to speak, to bring you back to exactly where you were before the storms and tornado hit. But we consider ourselves a ray of hope a bridge to kickstart you to the long-term recovery.
Exactly.
So the money is not as big and grand as you may get from the SBA if you're looking at a loan if that you're eligible for. But what we do want to do is give people what they need to begin
Absolutely.
To take the steps to rebuild their lives. And so the home situations that we leave people with, we want to make sure that when they get assistance from us, that their home is stable, sanitary, functional, sustainable, and then that gives the person a time to just kind of sit, breathe, rest, and then get on with what they need to do.
Pam, that just ties in so wonderfully with the next question I wanted to ask you. Now, let's just say, what if people have already cleaned up, they've made repairs to their property, are they still eligible to register with FEMA?
Definitely, they're still eligible to register for assistance, and, you know, after a disaster, I mean, that's kind of, you know, what you instinctively want to do is to try to get things back to normal, whatever that new normal may look like.
Right.
You know, that's kind of where your head is.
Mm-hmm.
And so people these days with smartphones and technology, you can record the damage, you can take pictures of the damage, receipts that you may have used your own money to pay for things.
Right.
And all of this is just building for documentation in your application.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, inspectors, when they get there, they can see what was done on in addition to what you've done. They can tell, you know, what was caused by that tornado and enter that into the application process. So don't let that stop you from registering if you have already begun an effort to build your property back.
Excellent. And we touched on this a little bit earlier, ladies, with both agencies. Is there a deadline for people to register for disaster assistance? We want to make sure that we, if they were with us for the first half of the program, some may just be joining us and are just hearing all of this and trying to take it in. And hopefully, Radio Family, you're taking notes in the process. I know I definitely am. Let's touch on if there are any deadlines that they need to be made aware of.
I just have one, and I know Laurie may have a couple to broadcast, but the deadline to register for FEMA Individual Disaster Assistance is July 7th.
Okay.
The deadline to apply for disaster loans for property is the same as the FEMA registration, which is July 7th. The deadline to apply for working capital loans to pay the bills that the businesses would have been able to pay, that deadline is February 8th.
Okay. And another way to look at it, Lori, if I'm correct, economic injury, is that what it's referred to as well?
Economic injury disaster loan.
Very good.
That's February 8th, and July 9th actually is the deadline.
It's the deadline. Okay. So Radio Family, keep those dates in mind. Hopefully we'll have enough time, which, as always, when we're in the middle of great conversation, time seems to elude us. But in the couple of minutes that we have remaining, Lori, I wanted to address this question. Why does FEMA refer people to the SBA?
For long-term recovery. The SBA is the only federal agency providing assistance for long-term recovery.
Right.
And FEMA provides emergency and, as she said, to get you on your feet.
Great.
And you know, the other thing is, and I hear it from survivors, it's like the last thing they say they want to hear is someone talking to them about a loan when they're already in debt, or maybe they use their reserves just to survive.
It's just something about that word, loan.
Right.
You always want to equate repayment to it.
I am in the struggle
and
financially, and so now we're talking about a loan. But there's a really good reason why folks should give it some consideration.
Right.
And then, of course, you know, just like your grandmother said, better to
have it and not need it. That's right. Yeah, to need it and not have it.
The interest rates are real low. They're as low as 1.8%.
And the term.
And up to 30 years.
Wow.
That's a good point.
That is.
And it's a lot cheaper than your credit card.
Yeah.
The interest rates are, you know, sky high.
Exactly.
And then you can also, if you had an extensive damage to your property, you can refinance that home with the disaster loan application.
Excellent. Now with that, and that's another great tie-in. Ladies, your timing is just impeccable. Thank you for this. How can people who have registered to check on the status of their cases?
they can go to the DRC that's in Greensboro on Maple Street. They can go in there, like I said, you know, get that human touch, get one-on-one attention, and find out exactly where they are in the process. Or they can call the helpline, and they've got everyone's issued a registration number. You give that to the person who's willing to help you on the other line, 800-621-FEMA. 800-621-3362, and you can find out the status. You know, is there an inspection coming up? You know,
right.
What else am I waiting for? What else do you need from me? And that's just a great number to keep on hand as you go through the steps of the process.
Excellent.
And it is a process.
It is, very much so. And Pam, thank you for mentioning that, because you did talk about it earlier about the Disaster Recovery Center on Maple Street. How long will it stay open?
Well, that will be based on need.
As long as
people are coming. I mean, and what I've seen in bigger disasters, and when I say bigger disasters, it's so relative, because when it's your home that was destroyed and your family just at, you know, in a state of trauma and at their wits' end, that's big to you. Like, it has an impact. But I've seen disaster recovery centers close in phases because the traffic's no longer coming and people have had their needs met.
Exactly.
And so that's kind of how you might value or measure when a DRC is going to close down. But we have no plans to close
very
the
good
on Greensboro.
Excellent.
Don't wait.
Just
go in there as soon as possible, because the only way it's going to stay open is if people are going in.
Exactly. So the sooner the better.
Absolutely.
Yes. Absolutely. Ladies, a fabulous job. I hate time ran out on us. If we ever have another opportunity to talk about this, will you please come back on the program? All right. We will communicate on that. I want to thank you, Pam Salisbury. Good to have you back home, girl.
Thank you, Renee Vaughn.
And we're going to make Lori honorary and welcoming her to the Carolinas all the way out on the West Coast. Lori, Dana, I appreciate you, both of you, for what you do. You're so welcome. Thank you. And I want to extend that on behalf of our radio family and our listeners who may not have the opportunity to speak to either one of you directly. I want to extend a thank you from them to the both of you. I really appreciate it. Welcome to the Community Focus family.
Thank you. You're so welcome.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you. I really appreciate that. You are very welcome. And thank you, radio family, for the good things that you are doing in our communities and reaching out your neighbors, your friends, loved ones, anyone that has been impacted by this tornado and severe storms. You have the information. Please act on it as quickly as you possibly can. And thank you for your great company. No goodbyes from me, ladies, just until next time. So until that next time, enjoy the rest of your day and the rest of this weekend as we bring another edition of Community Focus to a close. Take care.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.